Well, Lord, speak in this place, in the calming of our minds, by the words of my mouth and in the meditations of our hearts. Speak, O Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. Read about a practical joke that some guys played on one of their fishing buddies once. They were on about a week-long fishing trip at a secluded lake, and they fished all day, and then at night they'd have a couple of beers and play a little poker. About 10 o'clock, they'd all go to bed, and then, of course, they'd get up before dawn to go fishing again. Well, one of them, we'll call him Sam, was the first to hit the rack one night. He was exhausted, and by the time he was snoring within minutes of his head hitting the pillow. Well, one of his friends had a little bit of an idea. And he went over, he got Sam's wristwatch off the side of the table and changed the time to 4:45 a.m., and then they all got together and changed their own watches, including the alarm clock, to 4:45 a.m. The alarm was set to go off at 5 o'clock, just 15 minutes later. And they turned off all the lights and got into bed. 15 minutes later, when the alarm clock went off, they all got up, shuffled around, and made the grumbly, miserable kind of sounds that we all make when we get up early in the morning. One of them even put on toast and coffee. The only truly miserable one, of course, was Sam. He sat on the edge of the bed, shaking his head and moaning, kept looking at his watch and complaining that he felt like he hadn't gotten any sleep. "I must be getting old," he said as they headed out to go fishing that morning. And every few minutes he'd glance at his watch and look at the eastern horizon and say, "What time you got?" One guy said, 4:40. "Boy, it's dark," Sam said. A little bit later, he asked, "What time have you got now?" 6 o'clock, someone said. Then Sam began to get a little bit concerned. "Shouldn't it be getting light soon?" When he looked at his watch again, it was 6:40, and there was still no sunrise. He stopped fishing at that point. He just sat there, staring into the darkness. And finally, his voice cracking in genuine terror, he cried out, "I'm telling you, something is wrong. It's not getting light today. It's not getting light. It's the end of the world," his buddies howled. And he said, "Doesn't matter anyway, because the fish aren't biting." And then Sam caught on. And he took it really pretty well, although they did have to wrestle an oar out of his hands. So that was their practical joke. You know, Sam's words actually are a little bit haunting if you think about them for a minute. Something is wrong. It's not getting light. It's not getting light. There are times in all our lives when we get that uneasy gut feeling that something's wrong. It's not getting light. St. John of the Cross referred to it as the dark night of the soul. In our gospel text for this morning, we hear about a man named Jairus who knew about that kind of darkness. He'd come to Jesus saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. Now, is there a more hopeless, helpless feeling, a more desperate feeling than having one of your children become critically ill? Is there ever a time darker than that? I read about a Lutheran pastor in Houston, Texas, named Albert Miller. His son, Dale, had been killed in an automobile accident. One day, a colleague asked Miller about his family, and Miller told him that they were fine, but he also told him that he'd lost a son named Dale. "How old?" asked the colleague. 21, Miller replied. "How?" asked the colleague. "A careless truck driver." "When?" 1972, Miller said softly. The colleague whispered one word that showed the depth of his understanding. And the word was yesterday. He knew that it had been more than 20 years, but to Miller and his family, it still felt like only yesterday. Jairus was a man in pain. His little girl was dying. We know Jairus was desperate because he came to Jesus for help. You see, Jairus was a major player in the politics of the synagogue, And his colleagues would not take kindly to the fact that Jairus had invited this Jesus into his home to heal his little girl. In fact, they would be shocked. What credentials did Jesus have? By what authority did he heal? Well, Jairus couldn't say. But none of that mattered at this point. The only thing that mattered was the health and well-being of his daughter. Some of us can relate personally to Jairus' despair, I think. It might have involved a spouse or parents, if not a child. There's a Buddhist legend from centuries ago about a woman in grief over having lost a child. And she went to Buddha to plead that the child might be returned to life. And Buddha sent her on an unusual mission, promising to minister to her need when she returned. And she was to go out and collect a bowl of peppers from all the families who had not experienced grief such as hers. Well, she didn't really get it, but desperate for help, she did as Buddha had directed. When evening came, the woman returned. Her bowl was still empty, but she was filled with understanding. The point was that no one is exempt. Everyone finds themselves in darkness sooner or later. It is natural at such times to question whether the light will ever come again, just like our fishing buddy. Jairus was a desperate man. His daughter lay dying, and he had to do something. And what did he do? He turned to Jesus. Where else can we turn in those dark hours when it doesn't look like the light will come? Robert had everything. He was a successful CEO of a $32 million business in the Boston area. But suddenly, the bottom fell out. His business collapsed in the early 1980s, and he was plunged into bankruptcy. "I had a wonderful firm with 50 people," Robert said of his former company. His company had helped disadvantaged people obtain affordable housing, but federal funding dried up and they went bankrupt. But not only did his company go bankrupt, his personal life went bankrupt too. In a 3-year period, at the same time that he lost his business, Robert's father died, his father-in-law died, his wife became an alcoholic, and his eldest child was committed to a mental hospital. Sounds kind of like the Job story we heard about last week. He was driving home one day, thinking about everything that was going on, and became so distraught that he had to pull over. And he later recalled, "I got out of the car and got down on my knees and prayed for help." He had hit bottom and felt totally defeated. He says, "I prayed for help, not believing that anyone would or could help me. But when I got up, I knew something extraordinary had happened. For the first time, I actually had some clarity. I felt a lightness, a sense of peace." Robert hadn't been to church for a very long time, but after that experience, he began attending again. He began reading the Bible and found himself drawn to the Psalms, which is where I often go myself, and because he felt that they had relevance for his life. I feel the same way. And there was one line in one psalm that he read that really struck him, and it reads, "As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved." That verse spoke to Robert on a very deep level. "I realized," he said, "that I had suffered from the sin of overconfidence." His life changed from that moment on. He learned to put his trust not so much in himself or others, but in God. When Jairus reached that same depth of despair, he turned to the only source of help he could see was left for him. He came to Jesus and led him to his house. The crowd that was with Jesus overheard their conversation and began to follow as well. Before they arrived at the house, as we know in the story, some servants came and with the bad news, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" The night black terror struck Jairus when he heard the news. But Jesus placed his hand gently on Jairus' shoulder and said, "Do not fear, only believe." When they arrived at Jairus' house, they found people weeping and wailing uncontrollably over the death of this little girl. And Jesus asked him, "Why do you make such a commotion and weep? Child isn't dead, but sleeping." Mourners began to laugh at Jesus. They began to mock him. Clearly, they do not believe in him. But Jesus was unmoved by their disbelief. He went off alone to the girl and spoke the words of life, "Little girl, get up." And immediately, the girl got up and began walking around. People who just mocked Jesus just a few minutes before were amazed when they saw the girl get up and walk around. They'd never seen anything like this. I mean, the dead do not come back to life. Then Jesus told them to give the girl something to eat, signifying that everything was all right. Jesus gave Jairus and his family the gift of life restored. There's a man named John Ulrich who is a new person thanks to such a miracle as this. 1976, Ulrich's son was taken to the hospital with no heartbeat and no brain waves. Co-workers had found him at a work site. No one knew exactly what had happened. Doctors managed to restore the young man's vital signs, but for 3 days he remained in a coma. On the fourth day, he awoke, but he was completely out of his mind. His father was beside himself, and he said, "I walked out of that room and I saw a sign for the chapel and thought, well, I might as well try that." And there in the hospital chapel, he prayed. The next day, he asked his wife to pray with him. That evening, John Ulrich prayed all night. "My shirt was soaked with sweat," he remembers. The next day, he returned to his son's hospital room. His son was sitting up in bed, calmly talking to his mother. Ulrich sat down and talked with his son for 2 hours. "He was perfectly fine," Ulrich said. Ulrich had a complete lifestyle change as a result. He changed jobs in order to spend more quality time with his family, along with some other good life changes. John Ulrich discovered what millions of others have discovered throughout the centuries. When things seem hopeless, turn to Jesus. And I've had lots of dark nights of the soul where there was nowhere else for me to turn. That's probably why I preach so much about this topic. My last best hope has often been Jesus, and he's never disappointed me. He might not have responded according to my timetable or with the answer I wanted, but I know, I had a knowledge that I was never alone, and the sun always rose the next day. We'll finish with one more short story here. Now, whether you're a basketball fan or not, you'll probably be familiar with the name Larry Bird, the former basketball great of the Boston Celtics. During a retirement party for Bird in Boston, former Celtics coach Casey Jones told a story about a time during a game. Coach, you'll like this one. About a time during a game when he was diagramming a play on the sidelines, only to have Bird just dismiss it and say, "Just give me the ball and get everybody out of my way." Well, Jones said he responded to Bird's insubordination by saying, "I'm the coach, I'll call the plays," right? Then Jones turned to the other players and said, "Get the ball to Larry and get out of his way." That's a basic message for today. When those dark times come, when it seems like the light will never come and you have nowhere else to turn, give the ball to Jesus and get out of the way. We will discover, as did Jairus, that Christ will not let us down. Whatever the outcome, he's got this. That's the promise, and I believe it. Amen.